Everybody, welcome in to another episode of NBA Real Talk. It's great to be back at it after a month-long hiatus. We're about 25 games into the 82-game schedule, and we have a hell of a lot to talk about. Jordan, kick us off with topic number one.
The first topic, let's just talk West Coast, or the Western Conference. We see that the Lakers are atop at 22-3. Are you surprised? Especially when all the naysayers said, LeBron doesn't have it, he's old, he can't put it together anymore, he doesn't even care, he's not a good leader. I mean, what do you see?
I am 100% surprised. I think on our last podcast we had with guest analyst Jesse Riggs, I put the Lakers somewhere in the middle of the pack in the Western Conference. I just didn't believe in them as a regular season team because of their lack of shooting. But like, LeBron is destroying people, and this relationship he has with AD is on a level that I don't know that we've seen in a duo since him and Wade.
And why? Why are they so dynamic together?
They're so smart. Like, I'm not a big AD guy. I kind of feel like he's overrated, but the way he's been playing
and
this year...
Overrated how, though?
I think he is
averaging 27, 9 boards a game, 3 assists, 2 steals, and almost 3 blocks.
Look, I feel like when he was with New Orleans, he'd have these huge games, and then he'd follow it up with like a 12-point performance. And I feel like he was just up and down, and he never... I always want a star like that, a top 5 type of guy, to lead his team, even if his team is garbage, to at least be a playoff team. And I just felt he never did that, but maybe he's a second fiddle guy, and good hell, he looks absolutely unstoppable. And the production they're getting from other guys like Danny Green, Rondo has even been playing some basketball. Like, that team is an absolute surprise to me. Maybe you're not as surprised as I am, though.
Well, I had Lakers. Houston was my pick for
top seed
regular season, and yep. Then they'll burn out in the playoffs like they always do, because Harden can only score so many points without, you know, wearing out. But Lakers, because you have LeBron, I'm a believer that he could still be dominant for the next 3 or 4 years. David West said recently, a healthy LeBron on any team is a championship caliber team. So guys that play get it. I understand that LeBron may be obnoxious on social media. You know, you may not like what he tweets or that he gets involved with politics. And lots of times he'll comment on things that he probably shouldn't comment on because it just doesn't matter. And he tries to act like it matters more than it does. But as a basketball player, the guy's a freak of nature. Right now he's averaging almost 26 points a game, 7 boards, 10.8 assists, and 2 steals. And they're 22-3. And they have some serious camaraderie over there. I mean, it looks like they're all just having fun.
I'm shocked it's put together this quickly in the season.
Well, and ask yourself this. You know, he got a lot of hate because he didn't want to keep Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. And it's not like he went out and built his entire team. He got AD, which is a very vital piece. But you have the bald Mamba, Alex Caruso, out there getting minutes. KCP is literally one of the most unreliable 2-3 guard combos you could have, who is just god-awful, you know? But it's like now he's starting to fit in. People forget that Danny Green almost didn't make it in the D League, you know? And he's getting minutes. I just feel like they are all buying in, and I don't know if it's into Frank Vogel's game plan, methodology, or if this is more LeBron. Whatever it is, it's working, and if they stay healthy, I don't see anyone stopping them.
So let's take a quick moment to thank the man upstairs that Kawhi Leonard did not join that team, because they're a super fun team to watch, but if you add Kawhi Leonard into that mix, it just becomes a weird team, but it's way too much talent. I mean,
well, and I don't, I mean, you see everyone, you see all the Laker teammates cheering for each other when they make, they pass up a good shot for a better shot, they make the extra pass. Kawhi doesn't really cheer for teammates.
Correct.
He doesn't really show any kind of emotion or facial expressions, which makes me think he may be on the spectrum somewhere.
Yeah, I look, I don't think he fits with that team, and I'm just glad from a fan perspective that loaded there.
Kawhi might be the guy we can't even make fun of, but he has superhuman strength.
Kawhi is a different beast, but with the Lakers, look, I am surprised. I think they've gelled way quicker than anyone could have possibly even dreamed of. And yeah, they're the front runners to win the West, and they're the front runners to win the title. And if those two stay healthy,
does anyone beat them?
I don't think so. I mean, look, the Clippers are going to give them a run in the playoffs.
Clippers, though? So a lot of people are talking about the Clippers, and obviously they play hard and they have some killer role players. Anytime you have Sweet Lou coming off the bench that's just instant offense, you're in good shape. And you have Paul George, who was, before he got injured, in MVP form last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Kawhi is Kawhi, and he does what he does. You have Pat Beverly. Harrell is a beast.
Yeah, I like
him. He's a man-child. And I think Doc Rivers is a damn good coach. I really do.
He's a good coach. Look, my thing with the Clippers is they're a 500 road team. And I know there's been load management.
Is that because Kawhi isn't playing?
And PG hasn't. I get all that. But if you are going to win an NBA title, you are not a 500 road team. And again, we're 25 games in. I think they're like something like 6-6 on the road. They're really, really tough at home. The Clippers certainly can give the Lakers a run for their money in the playoffs. I mean, that series isn't over. It's not like the Warriors versus everyone else the past 4 years. But Lakers are head and shoulders above the Clippers to me. And I don't see that changing unless there's injuries.
If there's injuries, here's the thing, right? If LeBron goes down, or if AD goes down, which could really, LeBron's really only had one kind of serious injury, and we don't know if he was milking it or not.
Yeah.
Where he had the groin injury, but it's like, how long, is that really a season-ending injury? It seems like AD gets banged up all the time.
Every year.
So it'll be interesting to see if he could finish the season out, and he's not a player that's been there and done it before, right? We've had Bryce on here in the past, Bryce Blanchard, and he always talks about, like he talked about the Bucks and why they didn't make it to the finals last year, and they were, on paper, a way better team than Toronto, a more complete team, even though Toronto was awesome, and it's really because they didn't have a single player that had actually advanced in the playoffs before, and playoff basketball is a lot different than regular season, where you're taking advantage of load management and everything.
Yeah.
So It'll be interesting to see. So, the Rockets. Well, first let me start with this, okay? So, one of our mailbag questions were, if the NBA is a more balanced field than it has been in the last 5 years, why are ratings down 15%?
So, look, my number one reason for why ratings are down is because everyone is sick of James Harden's bullshit, okay? Like, straight up, people are tired of the flopping and flailing. The NBA needs to implement something where if you, and I know they do to some degree, but they need to penalize guys harder who are faking getting fouled on three-pointers.
No, he's not just faking. It looks like he's getting sniped out there.
Yes.
Stepping on landmines. He's getting taken out with Gatling guns.
And every
stab.
Everyone's doing it now. And so referees are having to stop games left and right to go to the replay and see if guys are actually being fouled on these three-pointers or not, because it's really hard to tell.
The reviews, I'll be honest, the reviews drive me nuts, and it kills the flow. Whenever there's momentum, whenever there's a comeback, oh, we need to go back and look and see if it was a real three-pointer.
Especially for breakaway calls and stupid stuff that doesn't matter.
Someone falls to the ground, and there's no contact at all. Oh, we need to make sure it's not a flagrant, one or two. Just stupid. But Harden, talk to me about Harden. Look, because he is averaging 38 points a game, 6 boards, and 7.5 assists.
Look.
And shooting 33% from three.
33% from three.
I mean, he's had games where he shoots 20 to 25 three-pointers.
So, look, I don't want to take anything away from James Harden because the dude is an assassin. I think he's probably the best offensive scorer we've maybe ever seen. Certainly right now. But no one likes the flailing,
people
the flopping.
People say KD's the best. Analysts will say KD's the best one-on-one player in the league. I don't see KD doing what Harden does. If he doesn't get a single bucket, doesn't have a single field goal,
he can still get 30 points.
He'll get 30 free throws.
And how annoying is that?
He's a magician out there. It's obnoxious, and people hate the way he plays, but he's a professional scorer.
Yeah.
And really, I think he's a lot more cerebral of a player than we think he is. Like, he realizes, yeah, look, you're going to play at my pace, right? Yeah, you'll watch me dance around with the ball, but you're going to play my way, and if you're going to put your best defender on me, I'm going to get him in foul trouble.
100%. And look, they're like something like 17-7 right now. I mean, they're winning games. I mean, look, Houston's really good. I think I had them towards the top of the Western Conference for the regular season as well. Maybe right at the top, I'm trying to remember. But to me, it stops with Russell Westbrook, because you're trying to rely on a guy who's literally shooting 22% from three-point range this season.
And averages 4.5 turnovers a game, and he's not your primary ball handler.
That's just it. It's not like he's got 14 dimes to go with those four or five turnovers a game. So,
and he'll have a few games where it's like, wow, vintage Russ. Hey, you know, wow, like he you have a point guard that just grabs 17 rebounds. That's awesome. Yeah. But does that equate to wins?
No, not his style. But look, James is carrying that team. And really quickly, too, going back to the ratings question, just to finish that one up. The other couple factors, I think, are that no one likes this load management stuff. It sucks for the fans, and people just, it's not as fun to watch when PG and Kawhi aren't playing together, or whoever it is that's resting. I think that's a big thing. The other thing, I think, is with all the parity, I do think fans like to cheer against the New York Yankees, you know, the New England Patriots, the Golden State Warriors.
The James Hardens.
And honestly, the Lakers are certainly looking like they're going to be the replacement to the Golden State Warriors.
It's hard, though, when it's the thing with L.A., you have two stars on that team. Well, you have two superstars. Like Golden State right now, they still have two all-stars. You still have Draymond Green and D'Angelo Russell, and you're a dog shit team.
Yeah.
And you have former Coach of the Year, Steve Kerr, running the show. So
yeah, why are they so bad?
Was Steve Kerr really the best coach, or is he just a genius at managing personalities, kind of like Phil Jackson? Or could any mailman, milkman, UPS worker coach the Golden State Warriors when you have Klay Thompson, Steph, Draymond, KD, Boogie, Iggy?
Look, anyone delivering Omaha Steaks could coach that team to a title, straight up. And to me, what's interesting with the Warriors is everyone looked at Steph Curry this season to be, hey, what are you made of? What can you do when you don't have Kevin Durant, and especially without Klay, too, for at least most of the season? So was Steph going to lead his team to the playoffs, and they were going to have a good record, and he was going to be an MVP candidate? People talk like that. We'll never know.
And it's a bump. But the thing is, though, first of all, it's obnoxious, right? Because you want to see what Steph, he's a two-time MVP, you want to see how he does in situations where he's uncomfortable. I mean, he's still playing alongside two other all-stars. D'Angelo Russell has like a weird game and never gets to the foul line, which is obnoxious.
Yeah.
But when you have shooters that spread the floor, the game slows down. You have so much more time to create. There's so much more open space. And if it's a one-on-one matchup, Steph Curry's usually going to win that battle. But when you have an offensive liability on your team, defense can always send help or force you baseline, or on an on-ball pick, they can double the ball or hedge high, make you give it up. And it's funny because when Klay Thompson, KD, all those guys are on the floor, you couldn't help off. Defensively, you couldn't send help at all, or you get screwed. They'd kill you every time. And now you were watching Steph, and he did have a few solid games early, but you watch him have to overwork, and it's got to be exhausting because we all know how good Steph Curry is, but he's not this dominant athletic force, right? So he has to benefit from, like, you see how he plays when he played with those other guys. He was always moving, never stopped moving, kind of like Rip Hamilton or J.J. Redick, where, yeah, he's the point guard, but he plays a lot as the two. When he had to play true point, he would get exposed.
100%. And speaking of getting exposed, one of the more fun things that I've been able to watch so far this season in the NBA is Draymond Green. The guy sucks at basketball, straight up. The reason he looked so good and was an all-star and, you know, everyone was jumping all over him as one of the best players in the NBA is because he was playing with those guys. Look, I could go sub in for a team full of the most talented guys and the best put-together team, and I'm going to look good because those guys are going to make me look good. Now, of course, no one could make me look that good, but you get my point. Draymond is a fraud. What are your thoughts?
Draymond shoots with a backpack on. That's all I have to say about him. And Draymond has a big mouth. I will give him this. Defensively, he gives you everything he's got.
Plays hard on defense.
When he got Defensive Player of the Year, I think that, you know, there was merit to that. I feel like he earned it. But offensively, his numbers are sickening because it's like, yo, Draymond, when you were averaging 10, 12 points a game with Golden State, they were all on backdoor cuts or shot clocks winding down, and no one's within 25 feet of you because they don't respect your shot. You're going to hit a few of those. Now, where you have to create, you're exposed. I agree with you. He's been exposed. Golden State has been an utter disappointment. And the thing that is just maddening, they're going to get a lottery pick.
I know.
Klay's going to come back healthy. They're probably going to move D'Angelo Russell.
Yep.
Who's got to be worth something.
Someone will give something up for him, for sure.
So, let's talk about, we'll talk a little bit more just in the West. Let's talk about Dallas and what a surprise they've been. And then we'll talk about some disappointments. And then we have a few mailbag questions, a few surprises, a few disappointments in the league up to this point. And then, yeah, we'll answer a few questions. But how special is Luka Doncic? And does Mark Cuban have anything to do with their success? Or is he just...
No, he doesn't have anything
there
to do with it. Look, if you would have told me a month ago that Dallas would be the third seed in the West,
you would have eaten your dick.
Like, literally a month into the season, 2 months, like, I would have said not a freaking chance. And not because I don't like Dallas as a team. I think they play really hard. But just because of how loaded the West is. But there is literally one guy. The reason that they are in that third seed is one guy, and he is unbelievably special.
But why is he so special? Because he's not a freak athlete by any means. Right?
No, I mean...
Like, he's huge. He's 6'8". He has a good, thick body. But he might be the smartest player we've ever seen. He's 20 years old! He's 20!
He has something extra.
I didn't have hair on my peaches when I was 20.
Look.
Like, and I didn't know anything about anything because I was stupid. He was a true pro in Europe since he's been 15.
Yeah.
Right? Which is amazing because
I'm 14.
Or 6 years old. Somewhere I don't know. Doesn't
I think it
matter.
Was around there.
So interesting. So he was the third pick. Vlade Divac, right? Who's the GM for president of basketball operations, whatever it's called in Sacramento, that busted franchise, he knew about Doncic all along. Knew how special he was, had close ties with his family. Like, so you would think it's a done deal because Ayton went first, Phoenix, which was a funny pickup, you know, true big man, whatever. They chose Marvin Bagley. It's like, hey, if this is a lottery pick, you gotta pick someone that's going to change your franchise. Marvin Bagley ain't changing your franchise, right? He's a good utility guy. He's going to get you 10, 15 rebounds a game if he's getting a lot of minutes.
Is he any different than Ben McLemore?
He doesn't score outside of the key. So they pass on him. Doncic is, without a doubt, the rookie of the year last year. This year, the West is more complete than it's been, than I can ever remember. Right?
Yeah, it's deep.
I mean, you have three or four teams that wouldn't make the playoffs, that won't make the playoffs in the West, that would easily be in the East, right?
For sure. Yeah, 100%.
And they're third in the West. Luka right now is averaging 31 points, almost 10 boards, 9.2 assists, and 1.5 steals a game. He's 20 years old. He had a triple-double in 26 minutes the other night. And, sorry, I just like go on a tangent because I have a man crush on this guy. But I am so impressed with his basketball IQ and how he doesn't do anything crazy fancy other than just take what the defense gives him. Right? If he needs to create a shot and he knows how to create contact, he can step back. It's like he doesn't have Kyrie handles either. Like if he doesn't need to cross over, he doesn't cross over. He just keeps going and he finishes. I will say, so amazing passer. He sees plays happen three passes before they actually occur. And he absolutely makes players better. Tim Hardaway has a terrible contract, Tim Hardaway Jr. And he makes plays because Doncic knows how to find him. You know, and one thing that's like a huge blessing for Doncic, I think, because he's so crafty off the dribble, knows how to get guys involved, creating his own shot. The fact that Porzingis is a stretch five and he's pretty much a lights out shooter from deep. It opens up the whole floor for Doncic to create, where you look at some of these other teams that are kind of they just don't really fit. Like in Philly, I'm not buying into Philly because you have Ben Simmons, you have a 6'10 point guard, but you have Embiid, Horford, you have all these guys that just plug up the middle. So I just feel like it's hard to create. So you, in all the basketball that you've played, how easy is it and how fun is it when someone creates for you and all you got to do is stick open shots?
Dude, it's great. And people, like with LeBron, people like say that's a knock on him because he's turning people into spot-up shooters. Look, if you can get good shooters open looks, that is good basketball. And trust me, the guy getting that open look, he's not pissed that he didn't get to dribble four or five times before getting that open look because it's a great shot and he's going to drain it.
And if you have to take four or five dribbles to create a shot, you're probably not playing in the NBA.
Yeah, unless you're getting to the rack and dunking on people. Look, I'm not going to add much to that with Luka, but he is like more so than really anyone else who's like, you look at some of these young talented players that have come into the league the last 4 or 5 years, like Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum and just some of these guys like that, where it's like, wow, these guys are special. They're talented. Luka is on another planet.
He is a superstar. And
now,
honestly, he needs to be the MVP. I don't care if LA, I feel like turning the Lakers franchise around has been special by both LeBron and AD. What Luka's doing is just, like you're saying, it's on another planet. And I feel like he should be MVP, especially if he continues to play like this. I wouldn't say Harden's MVP because, you know, he has a 60-point triple-double. You know, when he does it in the playoffs, you just roll your eyes. You're like, ah, oh, great. It's just not a winning formula.
Yeah, and look, they're, you know, Houston and Dallas have a really similar record, but I just feel like Dallas doesn't have as many pieces playing for them as Houston does, as much talent, and to do what he's doing, I mean, it's so fun to watch. And I look, it just special.
So let's talk. Let's just talk after talking about Luka and how big of a surprise he's been. What are some other surprises that stand out to you this year?
So
players, teams, yeah. Any, what can you think of?
So like positive or negative?
Let's just do positive right now.
So other positive teams, I think the Suns, I mean, look, they're under 500. I think they're like
11 and 13 right now.
Yeah. And look, again, if they were in the East, I think they'd be like 15 and 9 or whatever that equates to. But I feel like they are playing so hard for Monty Williams. Booker looks good. I mean, all these guys are just playing hard. Ayton's not even playing. And again, the minute he was drafted number one, I said, what in the hell are you doing? You're drafting a post-up player in a league that doesn't value post-up players. Makes zero sense to me. But the Suns are a surprise to me. I think they're better than I thought they would be for sure.
I agree. Monty Williams has done a killer job. It's almost like he's really changed the culture. I feel like Kelly Oubre is one of those players where I could never really tell if he's locked in or if he really cared. He seems locked in this year. And Booker is just composed. He's not shooting 18 threes in a game. He has great shot selection.
He's a scorer.
He's a scorer, but he's not a selfish asshole scorer like last year.
I remember last year
you just see the body language. Players are just like, man, this guy's out of control. He'll fake to the open man and shoot every time. Yeah. So give me another surprise. What do you think about Trae Young?
So Trae Young, look, for how small he is, what he's able to do.
He's listed at 6'2". He's like a true 5'11", 150 pounds.
Yeah. Look, what he's able to do is pretty cool. One funny thing from the other night where the Hawks were up 6 and he walks by the Miami Heat bench under a minute left, like 58, 59 seconds, and goes, hey, it's over, and gives them a little signal. And
Jimmy Buckets didn't like that.
Yeah, and all of the Heat players, they all basically went off. They scored the next 24 points or something like that in the rest of that regulation and overtime, and absolutely smoked the Hawks in overtime. But look, Trae Young's a surprise to me. Boston, I feel like, is one of those teams. I think you had them coming out of the East. I think they were overlooked. They're damn good.
The reason I had them coming out of the East is I feel like Kyrie's a cancer, as talented as he is. There's not, like, I remember when he was in Cleveland, when they still had Kevin Love and Kyrie, when LeBron was hurt, they were 1-19 in Cleveland. And it's like, Kyrie, you want to break off and have your own team, but you have already proven you can't do it by yourself. And Kyrie in Boston, him and Gordon Hayward are out. Boston makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
Right? And they're like 5 points away from making it to the finals. And then this past year, they get bounced in the first round, and Kyrie just looks like he hated every second of it. Where now you replace Kyrie with Kemba, who's a dog, who gets after it, who was in Charlotte, never had anything to work with, and is trying to prove himself. And you have awesome facilitators and role players. Tatum's going to be a star. He's close. I mean, he's still young. His body still hasn't even filled out yet. Like, he's just barely starting to get a mustache, you know? Marcus Smart is a beast. I would love to have Marcus Smart on any team because he does all the dirty work. Jaylen Brown's tough. And Brad Stevens, I feel like he just gets players, NBA talent and NBA players to buy in. And that's something that's got to be hard to do when a lot of these players are making 10 times what the coach makes.
Yeah.
Especially because in today's NBA, it's a players' league now. It used to be a coach's league where it's like whatever Phil Jackson, Jerry Sloan, any of these old school coaches say, whatever they say is the law. You abide by it and that's it. Where now, if players get offended or something, they can get their coach from something their coach says, they can get their coach fired.
Yeah.
It's just stupid. So there is Boston's a surprise. How about Devontae Graham in Charlotte?
Dude, who the hell is this guy?
Dude, so funny thing. When he played at Kansas, he played alongside Frank Mason. They had a nice, like, 1-2 combo duo going. But I always felt when he played at Kansas, Devontae Graham is so talented, but he shies away from making good plays. All of his games were quiet. Oh, he had a quiet 21 points or a quiet 23 points. He had a chance to take over, but he would defer, you know. Where now, he's, like, in full takeover mode.
I love when guys, like, decide at a, maybe not, like, at the very beginning, but somewhere, basically when other people have decided what your ceiling is already, I love when guys take that and they say, F that, I'm changing what my ceiling is, and that's what Devontae Graham is doing. The way he's been shooting and playing and taking over games of late, it's just fun to watch. And honestly, good for the Hornets. I mean, they're... Those poor bastards. I mean, they
paid Rozier. They paid
like 60 something million.
Yeah, 58 mil to Scary Terry. I mean, I guess you got to pay someone, but obviously winning isn't their number
one
priority.
They need a break. They need to catch a break.
But Devontae Graham is a break. And you know what? Lots of times guys just need to have that opportunity to succeed. If Devontae Graham's on a better team, he probably never gets those minutes and gets that chance to shine. I mean, he had 40 points in a comeback win last night against Brooklyn. He had 11 threes in a game this year. He's shooting 43% from deep. He's averaging 20 points, almost 8 assists from a second-round draft pick out of Kansas that you were just thinking was going to be – he was just going to be, you know, practice team or play in Europe or G League, whatever. He's been awesome. Any other surprises? Oh, actually, I will say we touched on the Bucks briefly. The Bucks aren't really a surprise to me. I'm just impressed with how composed they play. And I feel like Giannis is even a better leader this year. And I feel like I really do believe that Giannis just is a freak athlete with massive hands that's good at basketball. But his basketball skills don't impress me. Like his ball skills. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He plays harder than anyone, plays the right way, and he's smart. And I just think the Bucks are going to be a threat in the East, but I don't see them competing with any of the top three teams in the West.
In the West.
And then the only other surprise I would say is the fact that Markelle Fultz checked out of the insane asylum and is now playing for the Magic, averaging 12 points. 4 assists and 3 rebounds a game. And this is a guy that, like, what was his deal to begin with?
Like, nobody knows.
All of us, like, it's not even the yips. It's almost like he has brain damage. They like had a stroke.
They had to make up an injury. Like, they literally, like,
yeah, so his shoulder, like, his clavicle and, you know, the humerus. And it's like, oh, well, that really doesn't make sense.
It was fabricated.
So...
But is, I mean, look, it's good. You want guys like that to turn it around, and maybe he has. I mean, it's not like he's looking like a former number one overall pick right now, but I mean, if he can keep it up and build on it, maybe he can eventually.
And if not, he'll kill it in China, you know, and score 60 in China. Okay, let's talk about some disappointments. Here's one for you. Why does Portland suck? Why are they 10-15? What do you think of them bringing in Melo?
So, look, did they not make the Western Conference Finals last year?
They did. Bryce actually talked about that, thinking that Portland would be a big force in the West. Why aren't they?
There's one main reason, and that is Hassan Whiteside.
Ooh, I agree.
That dude is all about getting his own stats. He does not play hard.
Does he look like, dude, he looks like he's playing with, well, first of all, he's super lethargic. and he looks like he has mono. Like, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm so sleepy or hungover, tired.
He's probably high at all times. And I'm not judging the guy, but look, he's just not good at basketball. He puts up empty stats to the degree of Russell Westbrook. To me, he's not a winner, and he is a huge reason why Portland has taken a step back. I think there's other reasons. Like,
can he score outside the key?
No, but look, just because a guy is going to have one game of 20 points and 20 rebounds, that doesn't mean he's a great player. Because the next seven games in a row, he's going to put up like, 10 and 12, but he's going to leave his guy to go block a shot when he should stay home, and then his guy gets a dunk. Those are stats that you don't see in the box score. He does those kinds of things. He makes those kinds of decisions when he's playing. The other things with the Blazers, losing Al-Farouq Aminu, like just guys like role players, has been really hard for them. And the other thing about Portland that we really need to talk about is this is kind of how their pattern has gone. They're good one year, and they're not the next. They're good the following year, and they're not the one after that. Let me ask you this. Is it time for them to break up
the
backcourt?
They should have done it 2 years ago. And I don't know where the disconnect is. I don't know. I don't think it's a Terry Stotts thing. I think he's a great coach.
Yeah, I agree.
I really do. I think it's not McCollum. McCollum just is what he is.
Yeah, he's not.
He played at not just a mid-major, but like a low, low major at Lehigh, right? Like, he was the team. He was the reason why they knocked off Duke first round, back March Madness. It was like a great story. But McCollum is just not an athletic guy. He can create his own shot. He's very, very crafty. He's a smart player, very skilled mid-range, can pull up, does a lot of good things. But him and Lillard kind of have the same game, right? They don't really create for each other. They create for themselves. And I think Lillard's a better passer altogether, but they are both thinking, I got to score, I got to make a play. I think that Whiteside, like you were saying, I agree. Everything you said, I think you nailed spot on. Because he's not a stretch five, and he can't even shoot a... The difference is he's not a Rudy Gobert type where
he's not a good defender.
Where he's so long,
and smart.
Opposing teams won't even go into the key. They go at him, number one, and offensively, because he's not a threat outside the key, they send him, and he doesn't seem eager to go up for lobs either.
Yeah.
Right? So
he's just chilling out
his
there.
His pick and roll game isn't great. And because he's not a stretch five, he clogs up the paint. And good point guards, good off guards, they can get into the paint anytime they want with the ball. And when you get into the key, good things happen. But not when Whiteside is there. Because it just clogs everything. And then picking up Melo. Honestly, Melo's playing a lot better than I thought he would.
Sure.
But it's still like, I'm not impressed.
Hey, desperation.
You have 14 points on 12 shots. Your plus minus is like... minus 13. I'm not like, I understand if you want to have a vet and he's trying to prove himself, and you need someone that can create. I get the Melo move, but this is just not a team that's equipped to win. Yeah. And Portland made it there last year all because, well, you're right, Farouq Aminu really did help. But it's really just because Lillard played out of his mind. And when he wasn't playing crazy good, McCollum was. But that's a lot to ask out of two undersized guards.
100%. And Nurkic
already
was good.
And they're already fit. Yeah, Nurkic and his leg.
Until he got...
Paul Bunyan'd his leg, just chopped it down. So he... I just think... And I feel like in the NBA, they're smart. They figure you out. Something may work. Like last year, Van Vliet came on the scene and... created some matchup problems because he was a threat. He was trying to score, right? But you figure guys out. Lillard and McCollum can only do so much, and all the other teams in the NBA have figured out how they play, and they're just not a hard team to beat.
They're not. And they've been injured. I mean, there's other factors, but they are certainly a disappointment.
I'm glad you said Whiteside. I agree with that 100%.
And we said that on a previous podcast, that they would be worse because they made a move for that guy.
It's like, I understand I don't even know if you can trade him because
whatever. You can, because he's an expiring contract, I believe. So, like, he could get packaged over to Cleveland for Kevin Love, I believe, or some variation of those players.
Kevin Love would be a lot better fit, at least.
For sure, a better fit.
Because he can at least spread the floor and shoot, and when he doesn't have depression or anxiety, at least looks like he likes basketball.
Sometimes he looks like he likes basketball.
Okay, so outside of that, disappointments. We talked about how Golden State's a disappointment. Oh, well, the Knicks fired David Fizdale. And I actually don't think that's fair to Coach Fizdale.
Oh.
Because it's like, dude, you're playing with, like, the most dysfunctional group ever. How does Bryce describe it? Like, the island of misfit toys. Like, you just, it just doesn't fit, you know? And Barrett, man, he's
the quintessential New York Knicks lottery pick right there. Like, in a nutshell. Like, a volume, just a guy who's going to chuck, but not efficiently. Like, let me ask you this. Looking, because you always think of the Sacramento Kings as maybe the most dysfunctional franchise in the NBA.
Who, and actually, they get talent. They're just stupid.
But compare, so who would Knicks, you rather have? Like, the roster of the Knicks or the Kings?
The Kings shit on the Knicks.
Yes.
The Knicks
That's
are
how
the,
bad the Knicks
and
are.
James Dolan. Oh, I'll have to pull this up. But James Dolan, there's a list of all the coaches that have been there, like, the last 20 years. And there's, like, 13 coaches. Isaiah Thomas coached for him. Isaiah Thomas has the worst basketball. And Zeke was the man back in the day. Like, he was a freak.
On the court.
On the court. But as a coach, it's like, yeah, you didn't get along with Stephon Marbury. We get that. Stephon Marbury's weird. We get it. Nobody respects him. I don't even respect his opinion on TV because he has the worst takes I've ever heard.
One of the worst analysts on NBA TV. It,
like, just bad, bad, bad. And it's like, I don't know what you're trying to get, James Dolan, but Zeke is not a team guy, and you're not going to have a good NBA locker room or culture with that guy. And if you don't establish good habits in the NBA, you don't win. Jeff Hornacek was set up to fail, yeah. Right? Fizdale set up to fail. I don't know who they're going to bring in that's any better.
They have no talent.
I mean, you might as well go coachless and save yourself some money.
So are you going to be excited to build around Julius Randle and RJ Barrett? Does that excite you?
Kevin Knox? No.
Good. Hell.
Mitchell Robinson? No. It's they're a dumpster fire, and they're going to continue to be. And it's funny when they thought, because they're the Knicks, Kevin Durant's going to go there and they're going to lure all these big names. Durant was, like, laughing about it. Like,
yeah.
This is literally the like, I love New York, but this is the last franchise I would consider. So, no surprise there. So, talk to me, because you're a big Utah Jazz guy, talk to me about the Jazz and Mike Conley and your take on this year. Didn't you think they were going to be a lot better than they are now?
Oh, yeah. So, I kind of had them top two or three. I thought they'd be a really good regular season team.
And why, though? Because there's not a single all-star on that team.
Because they're all, like, borderline all-star caliber guys that can shoot well and play unselfishly in Quinn Snyder's system. Truthfully, I'm not really sure why they suck so bad. But Conley has been god-awful. He has been absolutely atrocious.
Well, and especially if you're a $30 million guy.
He's a 33, 34, and next year he's got a player option for another 35.
If you're that guy, Conley, I will say this. Donovan Mitchell looks much, much better with even a bad Conley. Just because he's on the floor, so Mitchell doesn't have to do as much. But Conley, like, you're having games where you're like 2 for 15. They're open looks. And hey, these floaters, if they're not falling, try something else.
The floaters, dude. So look, Donnie Mitchell and Mike Conley lead the league in floater attempts. And they don't shoot them well. 42 and 36% for Conley. Those are not good shots. What teams have done is they have taken away the lob to Rudy, which he got six dunks a game last season on. And he's down to like 2.5, 3 dunks a game this season. They're taking away that lob, and it's leaving these guys shooting floaters, which are not going in.
And you have to credit, honestly, defenses are smart. They're like, look, we're not giving up an automatic bucket lob to Rudy. We're going to make these guys that are average shooters at best beat us mid-range or beat us from deep. And it's working.
It's working. And the thing is, so you kind of look through, like Joe Ingles has played like garbage. He played well against Minnesota for the first time all year last night.
And why? Because he looks to be a threat.
Yeah.
If he, it's like, hey, look, you're like a glorified church ball player. You're not an athlete. You look like you might have AIDS. I don't know what it is. You just look sick. Maybe it's because he's just white like us and he's just really pale out there. But if I'm Quinn Snyder, I say, hey, Joe, if you're not in the starting lineup, or even if you are in the starting lineup, if you get the ball swung to you and you have an open three and you don't shoot it, you're going to sit on the bench and you're going to think about that for the next three games because I can't use you. You can't help our team if you don't shoot. You are one of the lead leaguers in, or lead. You're one of the leading three-point percentage shooters in the NBA last year, and you're not even looking to shoot or be a threat. You'd rather kick the ball to a bisexual dude, Dante Exum, at the end of the shot clock, and have him make like, hey, yo, if you want to contribute and help us here in Utah, you have to look to score. If you shoot 10 wide open threes and you miss none of them, we don't care because that's the right shot for us.
He just needs to assert himself and play hard. I mean, look, Boyan has been really, really good. I really like...
He's the best offseason pick the Jazz could have made because no one else is coming to Utah. And Bogdanovich is very crafty.
He's
a big body. He can defend. He leads the league in corner shots from the corner threes right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
in percentage.
He's
been amazing.
He's a special player.
Like, look, I think the other struggles, we touched on Conley. We touched on Joe Ingles.
Royce O'Neal cannot start.
Yeah, Royce has got to be a bench guy.
He can't be in the starting lineup and you can be taken seriously. And honestly, I know I'm hard on Exum, but the reason I'm hard on him is because I don't know what Dennis Lindsay sees in him, if he's afraid to admit
that. Look, he's not playing right now. He's healthy and he's not playing.
But because why can't you can't even justify playing him on the floor?
No.
And when they justify, oh, well, he's an amazing athlete. Guess what? There are dudes in the NFL that are amazing athletes that don't get a play. Just because he's athletic doesn't translate. And there's nothing about Exum's game. He's a career, like he averages 2 points a game in garbage minutes. Like, he's the fifth pick in the draft. He's supposed to be a lottery guy, change the franchise, be an impact player. And you can't even justify playing him. He doesn't look like he likes basketball. He literally looks like he's moping all the time and that he's just confused. He brings the ball down the left side of the floor with his right hand. He's not a point guard. He's not a two guard. He's positionless.
He literally brings nothing to the table.
And I don't think you can move him because I don't think anyone wants that contract unless they're like, we're tanking so hard. Give us the shittiest player on your team and we'll tank even harder. So, I mean, I do think their Jeff Green pickup was solid.
Yeah, they just have no shooting from the bench.
Ed Davis can rebound. But when you're in Utah, you're limited, right? The players you're going to get. Do you think they could still be special, or do you think this is just a learning curve year?
You know, honestly, I don't think they can be special. I don't think with what I've seen. I mean, yeah, can they turn the corner and be better? Yes, they can, and I certainly hope and expect that. But no, are they gonna get to the conference finals? No, it's not going to happen.
No, well, and they're not going to get there because they don't have anyone that's been there before and done that. The only way the Jazz advance is one, they don't play Houston because Houston creates matchup nightmares for them.
Yep.
They just do. And let's be honest, Harden sucks for anyone to guard.
Yep.
And then if they were matchup against either LA team, those teams would have to be banged up, you know. So, well, honestly, Dallas would beat them in a series.
I think any of the teams in there, right now you look at Sacramento and Phoenix are the last two teams. They aren't going to beat the Jazz in a series. But every other team in the West right now ahead of them will.
Hey, I love Donnie Mitchell. You got to love a guy that the fans just adore because he's a good dude.
He's a good dude.
Like, he
works hard.
He's a worker. He's capable of being very, very great. All these Dwayne Wade comparisons are a little premature. Although Donnie can shoot the deep ball a lot better than D-Wade ever could. Donnie's just not showing us that he has that gene to close. And he has put up a lot of empty box scores where it's like, look, if your shot's not falling, Donnie, have a good floor game. Get other guys involved. Because it looks like lots of times you're looking to score and only score.
Yeah, look, he gets into the paint, and I feel like a lot of times he needs to swing the ball out. I mean, it's not like he doesn't. He certainly does, but I would like to see more of that.
So I would say one of the last disappointments is just, and probably not to you, but New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, the biggest thing is we all wanted to see Zion play because he's just grade A, 4 out of 4 star entertainment. So fun to watch. He's been banged up. Hopefully he'll get back soon and we'll get to watch him play. But how bad are they?
They're like 6-19.
Like they're losing games by 50, and you still have, I mean, you still have Drew Holiday, you have Favors, you have JJ Redick, you have Ingram, you have Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart. I mean, it's not like,
yeah, like, you don't have nobody.
You have
the Knicks.
You have a decent enough team, but I mean, it's like Lonzo Ball is so bad.
Yeah, he's not good. And his brother, I mean, goodness, he's projected to be the number one or number two overall pick.
We'll have to do a pod on that alone because I'm not seeing, I don't care how talented he is, I'm not seeing that at all.
No.
And it has nothing to do with his dad being a total wiener. Like, zero with that. If you go to play in Lithuania in like some second or third division where any dude that plays at a 24-hour fitness or YMCA in the States could play and probably be a leading scorer, number one. And then, you're not playing college hoops where you can really, like, get a feel for these guys. He's playing pro ball in Australia. And it's like, he's doing great in Australia, but guess who else did great in Australia?
Dante Exum.
And it's like, just because a guy's putting up big numbers in a freaking YMCA league in Australia does not mean that translate to NBA caliber talent. But anyways, whatever. We'll talk about that later. I just feel like LeBron is a prophet when it came to having the team he has now versus the pieces he got rid of. I mean, Brandon Ingram, what's your take? It's not just like his lazy eye. It's like, what is it about Brandon Ingram?
Look, he is better this year than he was last year. I think he's more involved. I think he's checked in, but he's never going to be better than like an Andrew Wiggins type, just putting up numbers on a losing team. He's never going to be, look, you'd rather have, does Ingram have more talent than Kyle Kuzma? No doubt about it. Kyle Kuzma sucks too, by the way. Not a fan. But like,
he is 6'9".
LeBron would rather have Kuzma than Ingram just because of the fit in that role. But look, the Pels, no one cares about him. Let's get Zion back and then see what happens.
I agree. Okay, so to finish up, we got just a few mailbag questions. We'll make these quick. First one is from Dennis in Kennewick, Washington. He says, what is the most complete team in the NBA right now?
Gosh. I mean, Bucks or Lakers?
Most complete team?
I mean, what?
Yeah, complete as far as like positions 1 through 5. I think that's fair. And I wouldn't even say Lakers so much. I would say you have... Well, they're gelling well, but like 1 through 5 that just like get it. I think the Bucks. I mean, you were talking about Celtics earlier.
Celtics, maybe Clipper. I mean, Celtics. It's kind of a weird question. Like, it's a good question. It's just, you know, complete team. What does that really mean? But you know, it's got to be one of those guys, one of those teams.
Okay, next one is from Heather, from Jackson, Mississippi. She says, "Who's the MVP right now?"
Gosh. MVP right now, it's got to be.
I say.
You said Luka.
I say Doncic. Even if they finish like 7th or 8th in the West, what he's doing, because Dallas should be a lottery team.
Yeah,
they should be
just
terrible.
Because of how good the West is. Look, it's either Luka or Braun or Giannis. I mean, it's one of those three guys. If I had to pick one, I mean,
so
look,
so Harden's 60-point triple-double, averaging 39 points a game right now.
Look, he'd be next on that list, but I go Giannis because the Bucks are 22-3, and Houston's like, you know, 17-8 or whatever they are, 17-7. I go Giannis, LeBron, or Luka if I have to pick one. Between Giannis and LeBron, I don't really, because
I mean,
you
I
take
like
one
David,
of those guys out,
yeah,
and those teams are significantly different.
Well, I like what David West said. So think of it, like, healthy LeBron on any team is a championship caliber team. Can you say the same for Giannis?
We don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not.
Can you say that for Harden?
I mean, look.
Can you say that for KD? I mean, that in my opinion, and it's not like I'll put this out there, I love watching LeBron play, but he's a guy that can be incredibly obnoxious.
He's so annoying sometimes.
But I have felt that he's the true MVP like the last 13, 14 years in a row. And even when he had a year that was a bust last year, he still averaged 27-8-8 with a super dysfunctional squad.
Yeah. I mean, look,
look at Cleveland now. At Cleveland freaking now. You know, that's what he was working with.
They're so bad.
So,
yeah, Giannis or LeBron. I mean, if I had gun to my head, I'd probably go LeBron just because of the turnaround the Lakers have made, whereas, you know, the Bucks were basically
this good last
year.
And if they're healthy, you don't
year.
See him slowing down.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay, last question. Let's see. Okay, this is from Scott from East Lansing, Michigan. What are the worst contracts in the league? Wow. Okay. Well,
I love this one.
I got to put Westbrook and John Wall out there first because they still have 4 years, $171 million contracts. John Wall doesn't even play, and when he does play, they're one of the worst teams in the East, and it doesn't seem like anyone really respects him. Not really respects him, but like he just, how do you describe him? Because he is super talented, but it's like, I don't know.
He's not a winner. Look,
is he a cancer? Does he just not give a shit?
Their record is something like 6-18. And if John Wall was playing, they would have the exact same record.
Or be worse, which is crazy to say, because they were better when, like, I want to say they were like 1-14 before Wall got hurt. And then they won like their next three games in a row.
Those contracts are woeful.
And Westbrook, it's like, hey, is there value with Westbrook? Sure, just not that much for what he gives you.
The other contracts that are really bad, obviously Wiggins, we've talked about. He's got three more years after this at like 30+ million.
He's just a volume shooter, empty stats. Has gotten better this year.
Yeah, I mean, is Conley a really bad contract? I mean, it's one more year after this year, but the way he's played at $35 million, I mean, what's your take?
Two ways to look at it. One, who else is Utah going to get? But on the other hand, it's like, well, holy shit, Conley. Like, make a play, dude.
Like, he's playing worse than Rubio.
Like, you were so impressive in Memphis, how you could just lead a team and you'd have quiet, like, 25-10 games. Like, you've been playing disgustingly bad. He had one game at home against the Clippers where Kawhi wasn't playing that was a brilliant game. But then also, like, you're playing against their second tier.
Yeah, they weren't trying that game. So he's been bad, but it's only one more season.
Okay, Chris Paul is just a crippling contract.
Yeah.
OKC, I mean, and OKC's actually playing okay right now. I've heard rumor that San Antonio might trade for Chris Paul. Makes zero sense. Chris Paul, but he was the president of the Players Association, so he set that up for himself.
He can do whatever he wants.
Well played to get paid as your body deteriorates. Tristan Thompson is another one. He's getting $18.5 million a year. He can thank LeBron forever for that. And literally, he has zero post moves, has never improved since he's been in the league.
And no game, period.
He just jumps high.
So, guys, thank you.
Sorry, last one. Chandler Parsons is getting $25 million a year to not play because he's been hurt for a decade.
Biggest fraud in the history of sports. Guys, thank you for tuning in. Sorry for the inconsistencies in putting these podcasts out. We love you guys. Thank you. We will be back.